All right, everybody, welcome to BO Boys for Thursday, April 11th. Fuck it, it's a raw feed. We're doing it live. I'm Clayton.
Yeah, I'm Pat. Clayton, we right now are civil with each other. We're talking. It may be a little uncomfortable, may get tense sometimes, but we're able to say civil. This box office weekend, no, it is not saying civil because there is a civil war coming. And I mean, there's some prognosticators that are saying this is going to be huge. This is going to be huge. I mean, here we go. Let's get into it. Alex Garland's Civil War, which is about what if America had a civil war now, not in the past, but now, what would that be like? And this is A24's biggest budget movie of all time. It's a bigger budget movie than Beau's Afraid. And it supposedly could be huge. Clayton, will this be huge? I mean, let's just get into it.
Well,
let's get into it.
I need you to specify what huge is.
I mean, huge is, in terms of A24, which their biggest movies ever are, what, Uncut Gems made $50 million, Everything Everywhere got $75 million. Their opening weekends are typically not big.
They've Even never the had a number one. They've never had a number one.
They've never had a number one. So huge would be, I mean, I'm seeing ranges out there that go as high as $30 million opening weekend.
No, that's
I'm
ridiculous.
Seeing ranges that are in the $20 to $30 million range. If you look at, if you look at it, Box Office Pro, and if that's what you're doing, I'm seeing ranges that say $20 to $30 million predicted opening weekend.
Okay, so
that's what I'm seeing.
Let's just talk really quick. Box Office Pro is a ghost ship right now. They don't have a prognosticator. Whoever was their prognosticator left. That's why it is a ghost ship. So we can't really use that at the moment until they fix
it. Wow. It's a ghost ship.
It's a ghost ship. But we won't get into that because we need to talk about this movie. And when you say big, I know we don't like to talk about budget here, but budget is very important when it comes to this because A24 spent out the wazoo for this movie. So
yes.
Big yes. For A24 movie ain't going to cut it. So when you're talking about the scope of this movie, it's opening in IMAXs. It's a big action movie.
Right.
And when you're talking
Explosion.
About that, you know, that tracking 30, I don't see this thing making 30. That's insane to me. This movie most likely is going to open in the teens. And that is not big, not for a movie of this size and this budget.
Right. I mean, there's budgets out there that say this is a $100 million budget, you know, $80 to $100 million. Forget what they spent on advertising. You got to advertise a movie, but yeah, it's a movie that is approaching $100 million budget. So, I mean, $20 to $30 million opening. If a movie like that had long legs, it could do okay. But yeah, if you're spent $90 to $100 million on a movie, you're expecting it to open to more like $30 to $50 million.
So the thing with a movie like this is it comes down to we need press credentials, not because we're critics, but as the preeminent bloodline of box office prognosticators.
Right.
I think this is a movie we need to see beforehand to really get a grasp of whether a general audience is going to like this and go see it. Because there's so much that's a question mark about this movie. It's called Civil War, but apparently it's not a civil war along the lines that most people would assume a civil war would be. The sort of division that is being covered by the news media, right? It's not that. It's a movie that the main characters are reporters. They're in the media.
Kirsten Dunst is a reporter, yeah.
Right? The most beloved of all protagonists, probably next to gamers. And I'm being sarcastic here because we know gamers, nobody roots for a gamer at the box office. Nobody roots for a reporter.
Gran Turismo bombs. And no matter how much Danny of Ice Cream, You Scream 4,
number four
movies, yells at us on our own show.
Yells at me. Tells me to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he did tell you to shut the fuck up. Gran Turismo was about gamers and a bomb. People don't want to see movies about gamers. They want to see video game movies, but they don't want to see movies about gamers.
So we can't rely on the critics and what they're saying about this movie because it's about them. And they're going to like a movie that's about them because so many movies that are about them hate them, right? And so I think that that is skewing these numbers where we don't rely on critics that much. But for a movie like this, it does have to be critically acclaimed for general audiences to want to see it. But I think this is just too skewed by it being about what they do. You know?
Okay.
So I think there's so much confusion with what this movie is and who it's for that if we got to see this, I'd have a better take on what it's actually going to make. Now, with the information that I have about this movie, I mean, Alex Garland, his last few movies did bad with audiences. I believe Annihilation got a C+ cinema score, and I think that Men got a D or something along those lines. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. People did not like those, though. I love Annihilation personally.
We saw it together, and I enjoyed that movie. Yep. But it's not
Scream Bear.
For
Scream
everybody.
Bear is a classic. He's better than Chauncey the Bear by a light year.
Big Halloween costume that year, though. The Scream Bear. Everybody was
Everyone was Scream Bear.
So Garland, not a name that brings asses to the seats. He's not a Nolan. He's not a, you know, he's not a Denis Villeneuve, however you say his name.
Villeneuve,
the Dune guy. Yeah. So I actually think, you know, those last two movies, if you're somebody who keeps up on directors, you might skip this because of those last two movies. It's not like he's an auteur that's building up from something which was sort of beloved, Ex Machina. He seems to be building down, sliding down with people's interest. And so that also worries me about this movie. So I am very low on this movie. I mean, I think this movie could possibly be a disaster for A24.
Yeah, I mean, here, okay, so it's a huge budget movie. It stars Kirsten Dunst, who I know I like her, and I think people like her, and she is very famous. But she's not a butts in the seats movie star anymore.
If she ever was.
I think she was to some degree. Well, I think she is very well liked, and people have seen her in big movies for, you know, the last 25 years. But I don't think she's typically the person you hang a $100 million movie on. No. And then I think the next most famous person in this is Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
And I don't know, would you say that Nick Offerman is a big movie star?
I would say the exact opposite. I would say he is not a movie star at all. He's not even a value add, because I can't name a movie that he was in where someone was like, oh, Nick Offerman's in this, I'm going to go see it. Right.
Okay. I mean, he was good in the McDonald's movie.
I was just going to say The Founder, one of my favorite movies, and he's great in that. But if you replaced him with another actor, I feel like it'd be the same. So I don't think that he's a value add in that sense. I think he's a bigger TV star. I mean, I know Last of Us, he had an episode people cream over, but that doesn't bring people to a theater. So he's not bringing anybody in.
Yeah, so the actors aren't really bringing anyone in here. I do agree with you on Alex Garland in that he's a type of director that I would see having a fan base. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Letterboxd crowd is going to be excited to see the next Alex Garland movie, but that is a niche audience, and definitely a niche audience when you're trying to open a movie to 30 million. And It is like with Ari Aster, Beau is Afraid.
Yeah.
And you're advertising that movie and you say from the director of Midsommar and what's the other one that kid's head gets knocked off?
Oh, Hereditary.
Hereditary. So when you say from the director of Hereditary and Midsommar, that is a draw for people that I would even say for mainstream audiences who probably really caught up with those movies on cable and like them.
Hereditary was a big hit for them, for A24.
Yeah. So when you say, though, Alex Garland, the director of, I think, Ex Machina is a sort of more gets a, oh, wait, okay. Like, at best, that's the response it gets from mainstream audiences. And then I think you're right. Men and Annihilation, to the degree that people know those movies, I think they do hate those movies.
So,
and I'm not saying those are bad movies, because no. I love Annihilation, and I think Men is bad, I think, but I could understand liking that movie. But I do think his name is a turnoff. I agree. As in terms of advertising to Joe Lunchpail and Susie Crochet, Alex Garland's resume is a turnoff.
And when you're using Ex Machina to bring people into the theater, to bark people into the theater, it is akin to when we're on the street and someone tries mm-hmm. to get you into a comedy club saying, comedians from Chappelle's Show, comedians from right. Premium Blend. What have you done for me lately? What have these comedians right, done right. for me lately? And that's an Alex right. Garland thing. What have you done for me lately? Right. And well, all you've done is fail.
He has no Chappelle show. He has no Chappelle show.
Ex Machina is the closest thing.
The closest thing. I mean, he's basically the equivalent of someone in Times Square barking you to a comedy club and saying, hey, come see comedians from Premium Blend, from Lounge Lizards, from Short Attention Span Theater. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think Ex Machina at best is a Short Attention Span Theater type of barking in.
Yeah.
So he's a negative. The cast is a push at best, because I think Kirsten Dunst is someone everyone likes, but they're not, you know, her height was when teenagers and young people were super into her. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's the case now. I don't think anyone dislikes her, but I don't think she's got a fervent teen fan base the way she did in Spider-Man.
Yeah. Not disliking does not bring somebody into a theater and plunk down their money. My apologies, Ralph Feed, for an IMAX film. I mean, that's the other thing right. too, is the investment. I mean, it's going to be in regular screens, but the PLF is where this is going to make its bones, if it makes its bones. These people are right. going to have, I mean, they've been touting this movie in IMAX ever since it was first advertised. I mean, Civil War and IMAX could be the name of this movie.
Right. Which I get that you want to make something feel like an IMAX event because you could charge high ticket prices. But in seeing the trailers for this movie, I don't see what the hook is that's going to make a mainstream audience feel like they have to see this in IMAX. You know, there's not that Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning did great this year, but there's not a riding a motorcycle off a cliff into a parachute mm-hmm. type shot that's being promoted in Civil War. Like, I don't know even what the money shot in this trailer where you've got to see it in IMAX seems to be. It's just, hey, this will be sort of a war movie. See it in IMAX. And I don't think audiences even believe that there are going to be big special effects action scenes in here.
Well, in the trailer, there is explosions. There are explosions. I mean, you know,
there's explosions, but there's explosions in Frank Grillo Netflix movies. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if explosions, if it's not the atom bomb, is going to make audiences think that it's IMAX worthy explosions.
And you mentioned this is a war movie and that being a draw, or possibly a draw. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that this is a fictional war. War itself right. is not an IP. Specific right. wars are IPs. And yep. and you know the one I'm thinking of, which is the mother of all war yeah. IPs. What is that, Pat?
World War II. Of That's course. The gold standard of war IPs. Yes,
that
100%.
Really right now is the only one that you can say, if a World War II movie comes out, I'm betting on it. Because yeah. Vietnam has run its course.
Yeah.
You know, Desert Storm never really was a huge IP.
No, Jarhead, yeah, didn't yeah. make it.
Falklands, yeah. too small. Korea, TV.
Korea.
It's a TV.
Korea's TV.
It's TV.
Yeah.
and not HBO. It's just TV. And so those sort of, in Civil War, even the original Civil War, I would say, has fallen out of favor on the big screen.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that if this movie was about the real Civil War and not the fictional Civil War, that, I mean, that's definitely a bigger IP. You know, Civil War, the Civil War is not World War II, not by any stretch as a movie IP. But I do think it's, to me, I think it's easily second in terms of war IPs.
But you know, a very
you're
low,
not reenacting the Falkland. There's a big gap. Yeah. There's a big gap. It's World War II, huge gap. And then the real Civil War is the second biggest movie IP of wars. And I, you know, they're obviously trying to milk that. But it's not going to work for the audience that loves the Civil War, because the audience that loves the Civil War is dads. And I think that dads of all political stripes are going to be, just by their dadness, turned off by this alternate reality Civil War, because it will offend them that this is not factually the Civil War that they love and study and reenact on the weekends.
Yes. Yes. And I, okay. I don't think we're wading into any waters here, but I, cause again, I haven't seen the movie, and this, so this is all, and I hate to use this because, you know, all I can take is from things that I've read online, which is terrible. It's a terrible way to be informed, obviously. But it's how a lot of people are informed. So I'm going to have to use that to be in the audience mindset. The person who is going to say, I want to see this movie or I don't want to see this movie. So in the audience mindset, what I hear is this movie is not giving, like I said, the sort of political pornography that the left and the right want. It's not it's not feeding into the Trumpers versus the Biden. It's just, it's not doing that, right? And so there's an audience for that, but I think the fact that this is a movie that's not that is going to confuse and maybe anger people who are very invested in that. And then the people who aren't invested in that aren't going to be invested in a fake Civil War between factions that are arbitrary, which is what this movie is. And I'm not judging Alex Garland's craft or his ability to make a good movie or an interesting movie. Cause like we said, we liked Annihilation. We liked Ex Machina. We've liked something, things this gentleman has done. So I just think it's confusing. I think to a general audience, it's a confusing premise with no stars and driven by heroes, quote unquote heroes, that are in no shape or form in the culture currently heroes. So what do you have here other than big explosions? And like you said, there's no White House exploding, which is something we've already seen. There's no set piece in these commercials that are saying, I must see this. I must see the bomb go off like in Oppenheimer. And there's a safety in something like Oppenheimer, because we all know that the bomb worked. We all know that it did what it was supposed to do, and at what cost, of course, when we're talking about the existential damage. But at the end of the day, it didn't rip a hole in the universe that we know of. So you can watch Oppenheimer and be like, it happened and now it's over and I can watch it. Where this Civil War all opens up this whole idea of this could happen or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not feel good, and it's not safe in that way that something like Titanic or Oppenheimer were, where you know this ship is going to sink, but it's just that going along for that ride. I think this is going to create anxiety in people, and they don't want anxiety. They want Godzilla Kong collab. That's what they want. Or they want Dune, which is a vision that is not realistic, but is also not like political in any way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's more because something like Dune, and we're not critics, huh? But I think obviously something like Dune 2 has a lot of big ideas, has a lot of commentary about current politics, current culture, all that kind of stuff. But it gets people in the door with the promise of this young heartthrob movie star is going to ride a sandworm and he's going to fight a villain who looks like a monster who used to be Elvis. Mm-hmm. And there's all of the big sort of movie blockbuster trappings that get you in. And then it's a movie by an artist about all these different themes and ideas, where Civil War, just in terms of box office enticement, doesn't seem to have any of that stuff to Trojan horse people in the door.
Yeah.
You know, that it's there is nothing that makes me think mainstream audiences are going to get tricked into seeing something that then brings up all these questions and these themes and these ideas to grapple with the way Dune 2 does.
That's such a great point. You're right. I'm going to step back a little bit from what I said. It's like, I'm not saying Dune 2 is apolitical, but there's a way to watch that movie without internalizing and understanding those themes and still enjoying it, right?
Right. And just enjoying the sandworms and sticking whatever body part you want into the sandworm popcorn bucket, and you may walk out of that, never think about what does it mean that Chalamet's character, you know, became a cult leader, all these different things that the movie is trying to do. You could just ignore that, and he fights a sandworm, and he fights a big bald Elvis, Austin Butler, and it's great.
And if
but
this movie...
Civil War, it's just, it is what it is at the top, which again is fine. As a movie,
yeah,
we haven't seen it yet. This could be the greatest movie we've ever seen. I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that a Nick Offerman star is going to be the greatest movie we've ever seen.
Yeah,
but maybe it is. But I think we're both on the same page where it really feels like this is a bomb incoming to a just absurd degree.
Yeah,
like I'm kind of with you. I think that the only thing that makes me hesitate at saying this is going to do single digits is because of how much promotion it has been getting,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it pretty much is the only new thing opening this weekend. But there is a part of me that feels like $20 to $30 million projections, I could see this opening to $9 million yeah, opening weekend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this thing can completely crater. I don't think A24, this was not the movie to launch their big budget projects. It's just not. It's too confusing. They need something more straightforward, or at least on the surface straightforward. And I know this is straightforward on the surface. It's what if there was a new Civil War? But that's so loaded. It's so loaded. And people are going to either expect an essay or a cudgel. And if this movie isn't that, then, and I'm not saying it should be that, I'm just saying that that's easier to market. It's easier to market like your biggest fear, liberals, has come true. Come see it. And, you know, or like, hey, conservatives, come get angry at this movie. Right. Like,
right.
That's a way to market a movie that is really basic and easy to do because it's really based on passion
but
and
even
fear.
That,
but
even that
people
barely
wouldn't see
it.
I was going to say, yeah, but that's the only way I think this movie would do anything, because this movie is just, it's so confusing to me. And maybe after I've seen it, after audience have seen it, people are actually talking about what is in this movie, and it's not a bunch of critics, saying, isn't it great that a photographer and reporters are the heroes? It's like, no, we don't think that's great. Most people don't think that's great, right? So it's just so confusing right now. And if this movie overperforms, it's going to be such a crazy change in what we expect from an audience, right? So like, if young people, and we had Wannabeo, senior intern Christopher on last episode, and he said the people he hangs out with had very little interest in Civil War. And my thought was like, that would be the hope, because the hope is the really young are not stuck in that black and white, you know, sort of, this is bad, this is good, whatever. Maybe they're sick of it. Maybe they just want to see a movie that is, you know, dealing in an intellectual take on this sort of thing. But if they're not into it, then who's into it? Because I don't see people my age being into this. I don't see people my parents' age being into this. So I just don't know who this movie is for.
Well, I'm going to read an email right now.
Okay.
That could shed some light on who might be into this. So we got an email from wannabe old boy Micah.
Of course,
our good friend who we've been on Micah's podcast, The Macaw Cinematic Universe. So great podcast. Check it out.
Thank you,
Micah, for sending this email. So wannabe old boy Micah here. I went to see Gone with the Wind with my mother on Sunday, and she gave me a shocking development. This wonderful woman who goes to 0 to 2 movies a year in theaters wants to go see A Civil War, a movie I didn't even want to see. On top of that, she said she likes Kirsten Dunst, likes the journalist angle the movie is taking, and likes how prescient the story feels. So for that alone, I can't miss this opportunity to go to the movies with my mom. That's 2 extra tickets sold. Is it possible that the older folks who aren't plugged into X, formerly known as Twitter, don't care about the rhetoric? They just want to see it. So is this a movie for older people who maybe don't have the, you know, they're not the ones who look at journalists as BuzzFeed or as Gawker. And so maybe they look at journalists as, you know, the Washington Post from the 70s, you know, Watergate, Woodward and Bernstein. That's who they look at as journalists. So that to some older people, they're like, journalists, my heroes, Woodward and Bernstein, movie about journalists. And they just want to see this. And maybe also if you're an older audience and you look at this alternate future where there's a civil war, it's not as scary to you
because you're going
to die. Because maybe to you, you're going to die before that happens, as opposed to younger people who are like, I don't want to have to live through this real civil war. So maybe it is more enticing to an older audience, to a 60 plus audience. I mean, could you see that?
No, I can't. And the only reason why is because I would love a follow up here where the question is, who do you think is on each side? Because I feel like the answer would be, well, of course, it's going to be the South against the North again. It's going to be conservatives against liberals. That, I think, is what this lovely, wonderful woman probably thinks, because that is the assumption that is to be made if you make a movie called Civil War in 2024. And so,
but I mean, we haven't seen this, but I imagine this movie is still going to end up mostly falling on some kind of version of those lines. I know in the trailer it says,
no, it
doesn't. Texas and California together. I know that, but let's be honest. The Nick Offerman president character is going to be a stand in for Trump.
No, I think he's libertarian. Pat, that is the thing, is that it is not that. That is what the reviews are saying. It is not that. It is not that. That's not what it is. So therefore, what is it? And are people going to be able to wrap their head around this whole different thing? When you call a movie Civil War, it's just so loaded in this country right now. That's the thing. If it was called something else, I would be like, maybe this has a better shot. But they named it Civil War purposefully to get people interested. And that's fine. That's marketing. That's what you do, right? I mean, we always talk about rebrands. We're talking about Deadpool and Wolverine collab.
Deadpool X Wolverine. Yeah.
Deadpool X Wolverine collab, right? So we love that sort of stuff, right? But I just think it's such a loaded title for what this movie is purportedly about.
Well, here's what I could promise you. I'm seeing this film on Friday.
Okay.
Me and my wife are going to see this film. So when we get the results and do our results episode, the Sunday night, Monday morning, I will have seen this film and I could put all the doubt to rest about what this film was actually about. And so when we go over the numbers, I will know why this bombed, because it will bomb.
Okay, it will bomb.
But I will see it and I might like it, because I mean, I like Alex Garland stuff, but I agree. I don't know who is excited to see this. So the only other movie that I have here opening wide is Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. It's coming out. So, Clayton, is there any chance that this Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, the remake of the Christina Applegate 90s film that stars Nicole Richie, could that come out of nowhere and finish ahead of Civil War?
You just said Nicole Richie.
Nicole Richie is in this film. Yes. Okay. Nicole Richie, June Squibb, Jermaine Fowler.
Oh, my goodness.
They are all in this film. Now, I think we talked about this on a previous.
We talked about it in our fall preview. I mean, our
fall preview.
No, not fall preview. And, what it was spring preview.
And originally, I had it the information because originally Tyra Banks had signed on to play the lead that now Nicole Richie is playing. So it's not Tyra Banks. It is Nicole Richie instead of Tyra Banks playing the character of Rose.
Evil gets an upgrade.
Though it looks like Tyra Banks is still on here as some kind of producer.
Okay. I mean, do you really want, I mean, zero impact. I mean, this movie will make nothing. I mean, I don't know how many theaters it's in, but are you getting a theater count on this?
It's from Iconic Releasing, and it's going to be on BET Plus starting May 16th. So this run seems like it's more of a
it's an awards
contractual
run.
Obligation. It's a, I mean, possibly. I mean, June Squibb has an Oscar nomination, right? She got a Nebraska Supporting Actress nomination.
So
it could be trying to get June Squibb in the Oscar conversation. I guess June Squibb is probably playing the evil babysitter. It says she's playing Mrs. Storak. So, yeah, she would be the evil babysitter. I mean, could this beat Civil War? It can't, right? I mean, this is going to make $1 million. Civil War at least make
this ain't going to make even $1 million. You're insane.
You don't think this
is
going to make a
million? No, it's not going to make $1 million. No.
Just based
on the last
on
Liam Neeson movie made $1 million. No, there's no nostalgia.
Nicole Richie, though, is in this movie.
There is no. Well, that's your millennial talking that anybody gives a shit. I say so often to people younger than me, mm-hmm. dishes are done, man, and right. No reaction.
They're not gonna act like us.
They're like, there's dishes somewhere. And I don't understand, why is he saying this to me? Why is he so close to my face when he says it? Why is his cap on backwards? You know, a lot of those questions.
Why is he on a skateboard?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is he in flannel? They don't get us Gen Xers.
Yeah, why is he drinking? Why is he eating Go-Gurt? I think there's a few, there's very few young people who have watched that movie. And I don't think that there's enough nostalgia out there for people my age to want to see this film.
Yeah.
I mean, if you told me Christina Applegate makes an appearance, because God love her, she's battling a very, you know, sad disease and she's doing it bravely and we all love her. If she were to show up in this movie, maybe.
Right.
But
if she, I mean,
at
if
this
you did
point,
the,
she
the,
shouldn't
the roles
be in a movie
where
like
she
that.
Plays the old lady, where she plays the babysitter.
I mean, I think that gives it a bump, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I still think it'll make $1 million.
No, it's not going to make a fucking $1 million. That's insane. You are crazy.
I think it's going to make
$1 million. This movie's going to open in like 200 theaters. You're nuts.
Let's get nuts.
We won't even know how much this movie makes. We won't even know how much.
I want to get nuts.
Okay. You say $1 million. really wish we had the shock collars. This is when we should have the shock collars, because
this would be a great bet for the shock collars.
To shock your fucking ass when this movie makes, I don't know, 40K.
I think it's going to make $1 million.
Okay.
And I would be able to shock you. We got to order these shock collars. Okay. Wannabe O Senior Intern Christopher.
Start looking.
You got to start researching where to get shock collars. And I think this is something we incorporate into the live tour, is we incorporate shock collars into the live tour. We make bets earlier on an episode right before a live show. And then the payoff is the loser of the bet gets shocked on one of the live shows.
Okay.
And we do it city to city. We shock each other.
Okay. Well, I shock you. I'm the one who shocked.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be from this bet. It'll be from a bet we make in 5 months.
Yeah, but I'll shock you.
Which I'll win.
No, you will not.
So it's going to make $1 million, and there's nothing anyone could do to reprimand me if it doesn't. So that's great.
Yeah. So you can just willy nilly say that this movie that's going to open in like 300 theaters is going to make $1 million. And then
it's got June Squibb. It's got June Squibb.
June Squibb.
Email, just wanted to get this out there. A great email idea from Wannabe Oh Boy Reed. Subject: spinoff podcast. Intern Christopher. This is Reed's idea. Intern Christopher with a different BO mom every week. Spinoff podcast. Call it BO Cougar. Ex-intern Christopher, the collab. Might be too explicit for Apple or Spotify. Might need to move it to an OnlyFans account. Love the show. Wannabe Oh Boy Reed. So, I mean, we talked about Wannabe Oh Moms last episode, having sons who are into Kong. Maybe we get a spinoff show where it's Christopher just talking to these wannabe O moms and see where it goes.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, it'd be good on his resume.
You know what? Yeah. Be ability to work with moms on air and, you know, ability to be thrown off Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So are you ready? Do we give our predictions?
Yeah.
For this weekend? I think it's time.
Okay.
We've got some other emails we're going to get to soon. We promise. If we haven't read your emails yet, we'll get to them. And of course, keep emailing us at the boboyspodcast@gmail.com. All right, Clayton, would you like to go first and give your box office predictions for Civil War weekend?
Yes, I would. Number one, Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, the collab, is going to retain its title at number one with $15 million. Number two, Civil War is going to make $11 million in its first weekend. Number three, I'm going to go.
This is where it gets tough. You know, I know where I'm going.
You know, Monkey Man. I'm going to go Monkey Man because I think good word of mouth ish. You know, I think it's going to have a small drop. I say that makes about $6 million.
Okay.
Under that, Kung Fu Panda, Rats Need Their Cheese. And then number five, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Okay.
That's my top five. Pat.
Yeah.
What is your top five?
I'm going Godzilla X Kong. I think it can make like $16 million. Civil War number two, I think it's making $9 million.
I love that.
I have no faith in this movie.
Fucking love that.
Single digits. It's just all the reasons we said. Who is interested in this movie? If it makes double digits, it's just because of just how much awareness there is.
And IMAX
and
ticket price.
How little there is out. And IMAX ticket price. Mm-hmm. And if it does get the majority of IMAXs, that could just by default put it in there, but I just don't think there's real interest in this.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that number two at 9 million. I do agree. Monkey Man number three. And I think that is another reason why Civil War is going to bomb this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Is I think the younger people who are looking for a cool, interesting movie are going to go see Monkey Man. I think the buzz that it got on the internet didn't pay off in a big way in the first weekend. But I do think that, you know, this is going to be where we see if this turns into a leggy movie, is the second weekend. And I do think it'll leg out enough to put a real dent in Civil War.
Okay.
Because it seems like that'll be the choice of the younger people looking for something cool at the box office this weekend. So number three, Monkey Man. Yeah, I guess, God, Kung Fu Panda. Is Kung Fu Panda going to leapfrog? No, I think Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is going to hold enough to stay number four, and Kung Fu Panda four at number five. The one that interests me that I'm looking forward to seeing what it does is the second weekend of The First Omen. Because we talked the last episode about how certain other podcasts were saying horror is dead, which is insane. I keep hearing great reviews of this First Omen. And shout out to our chief horror correspondent, Brett of the New Flesh. I was listening to the New Flesh podcast, and Brett and his co-host, Jesse, they're critics, huh? We're not critics, huh? But they're critics, huh? Raving about The First Omen, but raving about it in a way that makes you want to see it, because they keep talking about how hard it goes, how much more interesting and entertaining it was than you would have ever thought based on the Omen IP. So I could see that being a movie that does hold well. Now, what does that mean? It opened at 9 million. Does it make 6 million this weekend? We'll see. But I could see that being a movie that maybe the buzz on it is high enough that it does sneak into number five. I don't have it that way, but right. I won't be shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't be shocked if The First Omen holds really well based on what I've heard from people that I trust. And specifically, not just saying it's good, but saying that it is just a lot more entertaining than you would have thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, even Imaginary held stronger than we thought it would. And Chauncey doesn't go hard. Chauncey soft as milk.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, and that's another movie, too, that could
eat in,
put a dent in Civil War, because horror, it's going to draw the young people. And if young people are here and this movie goes hard, there's a Sydney Sweeney horror movie out there. I think that the options for younger people looking for something interesting in the box office, there's enough out there that is very direct, as opposed to them going to see this Nick Offerman confusing fake Civil War movie.
Yeah. And can I, okay. I want to say after all this, as much as I enjoy your $9 million prediction, I enjoy it because I feel like it is the direction this movie's taking. I don't take joy in that because we do want to have a theatrical ecosystem where an original film by a visionary creator can be a box office hit and make Bafa Bobo. We want that.
Right.
We're not sitting here gleefully, you know, stomping on this movie's grave, throwing dirt on it, saying like, pick a side, motherfucker, Alex Garland, you're from England. What the fuck do you know about America? Rah, 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 fuck a pie, throw a baseball, you know, stuff like that. You know, be a human fly on a on a skyscraper, go up there, you know, all that stuff. That's American stuff. And we're not being rah, 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 whatever. What we're saying is being realistic about the marketing of this movie and what this movie could possibly do. And we're just not seeing it. But if we come back here on Sunday night and this movie made $20, $25 million, mm-hmm. we're not going to bitch and moan. We're going to be excited.
No.
Because that no. is 25.
And I will have seen it. Maybe I'll get it.
And that'll be $25 million more dollars to keep theatrical going.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, when you look at the next few weeks, if this movie does bomb, if Civil War does truly bomb, it is a rough next couple of weeks at the box office, or at least a rough next week. I mean, we're very excited for Challengers on the 26th.
Yeah.
But theaters really do need Civil War to overperform or at least perform at some of those projections, because I don't think, I mean, we'll get into it next week, but I don't think there's a savior coming on the 19th.
Abigail, Gentlemanly Warfare. Yeah. Although yeah. that's getting really good buzz, but I mean, that's not going to replace a, you know, huge budgeted war movie that is taking over IMAXs right. Over, you know, after Dune and the collab really cleaned house over there. So like to get an right. IMAX movie that's going to keep people going to these PLFs is important. And that's what Civil War is supposed to be.
And
we hope it is, but we don't think it will be, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, we will find out. So email us, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know if you're seeing this movie, if you have seen it, boots on the ground reporting. Always appreciated. theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on social media at @theboboyspod on Twitter, X, and TikTok. WannaBO senior intern Christopher killing it over there. And of course, WannaBO junior intern Jack writing up a storm on the Substack. I mean, I'll throw this out here now. Jack predicted $21 million opening for Civil War. His official predictions went out today. He's predicted 21. And you know what? Maybe he knows something that we don't know.
He's a young man.
He's a young man on those college campuses, and maybe he knows that the college kids are excited about this, and they're maybe not online saying they are, but tweets are on tick, so Jack may know something we don't. He's predicting 21 million. And he's also got a great new article that went up just today where he looks at the 2012 in the career of Taylor Kitsch. So that is a huge, huge story that WannaBO junior intern Jack has written up on the BO Boys Substack. So link below in the show notes. He's writing about Battleship. He's writing about Taylor Kitsch trying to become a movie star in the early 2010s. Fantastic read. Yeah. So go to the BO Boys Substack.
That's a man who knows his history. I mean, Jack talking about something like Taylor Kitsch. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think there's a year that goes by that we don't reminisce on Taylor Kitsch and that 2012 run of his. Yep. You know, yep. That career is so it's big. He's a bigger star for what he wasn't than what he became.
Yes. Yes. So fantastic read by Jack there. So, of course, subscribe to the BO Boys Substack and read articles such as that. And we're on YouTube. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also, of course, did a Kirk exclusive on the Kirk Minahan YouTube channel just yesterday, where we, in real time, watched and reacted to Joker Folie à Deux, the teaser trailer. So the Joker 2 trailer, we were reacting to it. 30-minute YouTube video on the Kirk Minahan YouTube network. So go watch that. And 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And Clayton, I think that's it.
Yep.
I think we've done it.
We're on no other platforms.
Nope,
and
that's it.
And there's nothing left to say.
No, nothing. Nothing.
Except for until next time.
Well,
smell.
it.